Bless you, child.
Bless you, dear.
Doing the rounds. Doing the rounds. What a strange way of depicting, describing the work of the spirit. And yet, in a strange way, how accurate. Doing the rounds. Each day, every day, doing the daily round, all that enters into one's life, for good and for bad, accepting life in all its many facets, endeavoring to do the best one may, sometimes under trying circumstances, doing the daily chores, doing the rounds. And in the work of the Spirit it is true that you are endeavoring at all times to do that which is set you to do to the best of your ability, sometimes under adverse, difficult conditions, sometimes indeed entailing a great deal of stress and strain physically and mentally and in a sense spiritually, because those who would do the work of the Spirit, who aspire to the highest, must find at times indeed greatly the strain set upon them in the material life. Indeed, it is a task that is set you, in which I know you endeavor to the best of your ability. Indeed, you do the daily rounds. Indeed, you strive to do all that you can to bring forth the revelation of the Spirit. I am ever grateful to you. I'm ever conscious of all your needs and all that you are endeavoring. I cannot put into words that which I feel, and which we indeed all here are conscious of, the effort that is made, doing the rounds, entering into the different environments and conditions, taking the different platforms, endeavoring to give forth as best you may the things that we have given you. Child, we should always be grateful.
Thank you, dear. I was very pleased with the way you upheld me last night, because I did wonder if perhaps it might be a little difficult, but it wasn't, and it went through very beautifully.
Last night, you were given an opportunity to do your work. Perhaps, in a sense, it may have seemed at first a little difficult. Nevertheless, the conditions there were good, and the sincerity of purpose that you showed, and the flame of the Spirit that burned brightly within you, shone forth, and indeed, we are truly proud of you. The audience reacted, and there was a happy, pleasant atmosphere, and several there, I know, were able to learn and digest, and were in consequence greatly blessed and helped. And some, I feel sure, at a later date, will come forth to serve in their own fashion. You never need fear, child. I do not think you actually fear, but I think sometimes you are apprehensive, doing the daily rounds, as it were, of the work of the Spirit, wondering what conditions you may have to contend with, not only in the conditions of the churches or the societies, but sometimes within your own self, because you are human. Because there are times when you feel the stress of things. There are times, perhaps, when you may feel that you may not be able to do of your best for some reason or other. But always we are there to support you. Always we are there to give you that strength that is necessary. There is no need for you ever to be apprehensive.
No, thank you. I want, if there's time at the end of this session, to ask you a personal question, but I don't want to put it in the middle. But I would like to ask you, you have on several occasions advocated intolerance, and you said that often we have to observe people and forgive and be tolerant, but it's a word I've always been a little troubled about, because I never know where tolerance, which is accepting other people's attitude, finishes, and condoning what is wrong.
child. Surely, child. There are many different aspects of tolerance according to the individual or the individual case that one may be considering. But above all, surely, we must not confuse the issue. No matter assuming that one may very much regret, shall we say, the behavior or the methods or the attitude or the behavior of another soul, no matter how much we may feel indignant concerning this particular individual, there is still room for tolerance. We must be tolerant of one another. We must try to, sometimes, especially to try to see the reason why a person is as they may be, whether it is for some special reason there may be in that background somewhere, some cause, some very strong cause, which may have created the peculiar situation or the peculiar condition which is common to that individual. I know, of course, there are many aspects of others, many aspects of human nature which cause great concern, in which we would have a righteous indignation. There is a difference, of course, in indignation and a righteous indignation. At the same time, one must not be in any way in the mood to condemn. It is very difficult, because every situation that is created by an individual or group of individuals has its own peculiar condition and situation. But in the main, I think above all, whatever the fault may be in the other, we ourselves must be patient and we must be tolerant. But it does not necessarily mean to say that we must condone. If a person, for instance, is knowingly doing something which is of harm to some other soul, of course one has the right to be indignant. Of course one has the right to endeavor to stop or to, in some measure, make it possible to change that person's mentality or that person's action. We have a right to interfere when we know that what is being said or done is very much adversely affecting another soul. Of course we have a right to be indignant. Of course we have a right to chastise that person in the right sense and endeavor to prevent them from doing harm or more harm. But it alters not the fact that whatever we may do, we must always be patient. We must always be tolerant. We must try to see deep down into the other individual's mind and soul and see why it is that they are as they are. Yes. It may be of a mental illness.
Yes.
It may be of something which they can no more help than another person can help having cancer. After all, these diseases of the body are in some ways brought about by man himself through ignorance, no doubt, but through the foolishness of life, the foolishness of centuries of wrong thinking and wrong action. It has not been proved, but I do say that the illnesses of the mind are in their own fashion as bad, if not worse, than the illnesses of the body. We must always try to see, but does not necessarily mean always that we have to excuse. You see, above all things, we must be patient and tolerant and loving. But it alters not the fact that we have a right to be justifiably upset, justifiably concerned when another person is doing something that is bad, that is wrong. And we have a right to be indignant. We have a right to endeavor to stop that person. If someone burgles your house, you have a right to attempt to stop them. You have a right to turn them out. But it does not mean to say that you have a right necessarily to punish them. You see, the law, for instance, takes upon itself certain measures. I do not suggest that the law at times is not justified, but sometimes the law itself, instead of making it possible for the individual that's convicted to become a better person, a better man, a better citizen, often condemns him to such conditions that he was worse in consequence. Mm-hmm. We must treat those who harm us with love and compassion. But that does not mean to say that we must ignore their evils or their crimes. We must treat them in love and in compassion and harmony. We must endeavor to uplift them, not to push them down. We have a right, child, to be indignant. but at the same time, we have a greater right to show compassion.
Yes, thank you very much. I've always wanted to ask you that. you have helped me a great deal.
Perhaps sometimes, child, in your runs, doing the work of the Spirit, questions may be put to you, but sometimes you are a little difficult, perhaps, to answer. Bring them to me. Yes. If there are any souls who have questions that perplex or trouble them, things that associate with the things of the Spirit, of course, I shall be happy to help.
Thank you.
Those little feet of yours have gone many miles. They've carried you to many places, doing the work of the Spirit. How indeed blessed are we, given the opportunity as we are, to serve, to work, to do the things that God would have us do as his children. How I look back myself to olden times, to centuries and centuries ago of time. How I remember how from place to place I would go, how I would endeavor to spread the truth, how I would gather together a few here and there in the homes and the places of friends who had brought neighbors and people they could trust so that we could gather together and truly have communion. I oftentimes think of those early centuries, those early days, when it was indeed a dangerous and difficult thing to be a Christian. One day I must tell you more of myself. All I can tell you now is this, child, that I continue to do the work of God, endeavoring to spread the truth of survival, endeavoring to comfort those who mourn, and above all, endeavoring to uplift humanity onto the higher plane of thought and to give them a consciousness of the reality of the Christ, knowing that with him all things are possible, knowing that in his power and in his love truly are we blessed, truly are we given the opportunity to pass from darkness into light. Truly indeed are we blessed, my child. You have been greatly blessed in many ways. I know there are times when you desire certain things, when it is only human and natural that you should wish for material benefit so that you could have more time and opportunity and leisure to do the work of the Spirit. I know that all your material longings are purely with a spiritual basis, with a spiritual desire behind them. And as it is in my power from time to time to assist and help you, so I do. But this I say to you, you will be given the power and the opportunity and the strength to continue your work until such time as we know that your work shall be finished on earth. But you will no longer have need for care, no longer have need for anxiety concerning things. Indeed, child, I say to you, every hour of your round of the day is blessed, even though there are moments that are sad, even though there are moments when you are a little perplexed and uncertain, even in those moments, indeed in those moments am I more closely associated and connected to you, indeed in those moments when I know you need me most am I there. Have no fear for the morrow, child, for that which is to come is good, and the opportunities therein are many, and many other blessings and a shout upon you. All is well, my child, for you work with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit cannot fail. I and all here that are gathered around and about you give our love and our peace and our blessing to you. Go forward in strength, knowing that all is well, for that which you do is the work of God. Among his children, indeed, are you blessed. Peace be unto you, child.
Bye-bye. Oh, well.